All right. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, thank you again for tonight. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in the world. We thank you, Father, for your protection upon the POTUS, the president, and all the people around him that are helping him. We thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for draining the swamp. We know what you told us, and we believe, Lord. We don't have any doubt in our mind that you're not going to be the president these next 4 years. Father, we thank you for what you're doing in our life also, Lord. We thank you for draining our swamp too, getting rid of all the enemies. And we praise you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, that tonight's going to be special because you're going to be leading us, Lord. And we thank you for all the revelations that you're going to bring forth, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And we ask and we pray for your protection upon us, your provisions for us, and all the promises, Lord, that we have read in your word are available to us, and we believe and we trust you, Lord, in all that we do. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Anoint us tonight, everybody in here, Lord, to share the things that you have given us. And we thank you for it, Father. We thank you that we do have an open heaven. And we thank you for the authority that you've given us. And in the name of Jesus right now, I bind up and cast out all the spirits that would hinder any kind of communications in this fellowship in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Father, we're going to have an awesome time tonight because we're going to allow you to lead us, Lord. And we thank you for that. We thank you, Father, for all the great and wonderful prayers that you've answered for us, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that we know that when we pray that we have an open heaven and that you answer all our prayers. And we praise you, Father, for all that you're doing in our lives, too, bringing us into that realm of walking like Jesus, talking like Jesus, acting like Jesus. And, Father, we praise you and we glorify you for all that you're doing and that you're going to do tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, all right. Has anybody got a prayer request? Hey, Judy. All right.
Hi, and I want to thank the Lord for such a great visit with my two daughters. I thank you, Lord. They're on their way back. And I thank you for giving them a safe there. Thank
Amen.
You.
Amen. Okay. Yeah, they were a blessing. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anyone else? Uh-oh, here comes Rion. Thank you, Father. All right. Anybody got any praise reports? Got any testimonies? Yeah, David, go ahead, brother.
I got two big testimonies. Well, I got enough praise reports that I could talk all 2 hours, but
okay, go for it. go for it.
We had a Christmas gathering with my family, and God gave me courage to finally stand up to my parents and tell them, hey, I'm out of church and this is the way I'm going. And when they tried to corner me, and God gave me answers, and when you answer with the Bible, they'll just shut up and just leave you alone. And that's what happened. And I had no anger in my mind, nothing in my heart. I was just happy. Well, they got a little upset with me because they didn't realize that I will do that. But anyways, that went through just fine on my part, on my end. And we had a big prayer about a job for me. I was working with my brother, and his company's kind of going downhill. He still doesn't accept that God's trying to teach him something, which I'm still praying for him on that. And you guys keep him in prayer as well. But we got really bad on money and we went to zero, completely to zero. And thank God we had family that helped us out. And they gave advice just to find a new job. And I took that advice and I got a call today from a company offering me more money than I've ever seen. And I just have full praise, and I praise God that he's helping us through, because beginning of the year, he spoke through a guy. God said to me through a guy, he said that I'm gonna bring you down to humiliation just to rise you up. And I was like, God, when is this company gonna rise? And I realized that the answer was not in the company, it was something else. And I believe that this is God's answering, and I'm supposed to hear from the company in the next 2 days to see where, and they're gonna show me the company where I'm gonna work, my station, and praise God.
Amen. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. We praise you, Father, for what you're doing. In Jesus' name. Amen. You're worthy, Lord. Glory, glory, glory. All right. That's a good testimony. Anybody else? Amen. Thank you, Lord.
I'd just like to share that the same thing happened to me when we left the church that we'd gone to for many years. My wages tripled. It was amazing. And I know that was God saying, yes, you made the right decision. It doesn't matter if they don't want to talk to you. That's okay. Anyway, just thank the Lord that he gives us the courage to do those things that we need to do. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father. Glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I know how hard it is sometimes to leave a fellowship that you've been in for quite some time. But, you know, Lord wants us to go higher. Get out of the sandbox and go into the active level. Amen. Allow him to do it. Praise you, Father. Glory. Hallelujah. Amen. They won't. Matter of fact, happiness will come, joy, peace, rest in the Lord. All right. Anybody else with a good testimony? You can have a little one if you want. I mean, just a testimony. Praise God. Yeah, Julie.
Just a little one. Okay. I've had such trials here lately with my internet and Wi-Fi and different things, and went through some trials, but it's okay. The Lord taught me a lot of things here and all that, but learned to find out that after everything I went through to try to fix it and got a new modem sent to me, finally got that hooked up, still had the same problem. So, okay, it's not my modem. I learned what the problem was, and I say this because maybe you all may have it at some point. You'll think, oh, this is what Julie went through. My V-pin on my wireless mobile devices was hindering me from receiving Wi-Fi. So I disconnected it, removed it off both my tablet and my phone, and I had immediate access to Wi-Fi.
What'd you call it?
V-pin, VPN, my V-pin.
Oh, okay.
My VPN was blocking my Wi-Fi connection, even on my personal, through my personal internet service, and it wouldn't work. So, praise the Lord, that's all it was. I learned a lot. I learned to be really patient with people and myself, and okay, it's not me, so what's the problem, you know? Lord, fix it. I was rebuking. I was casting that thing out, whatever it was. Oh, boy. Praise the Lord. And the other testimony, good report, is we got rain in Southern California yesterday, pretty much all day, overnight, last night, and a little bit today. It's been cold and windy, so we get rain. Thank you, Lord. We have more rain coming next week, apparently. Thank you, Lord. So I'm grateful for all that, and praise the Lord. V-pens are good, but boy, do they cause trouble.
I thought you were saying D-pinned. I said, what is she doing with a diaper on that thing?
Yeah, right. Amen. Yeah, no, okay. Hopefully the rain won't be that, so I have to buy a boat raft or anything like that.
Amen.
But anyway, thank you, Lord, that my problem's resolved. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Go ahead, Dominic. Go ahead, Dominique. You'll have to unmute.
Sorry, I thought I was unmuted. Okay. My friend Michael that we had everybody pray for is actually turning to God probably a little slower than I want, but he's definitely trying. So that's a praise report. He confesses that he believes, so that's a good start. But his actions obviously don't. Mine didn't align with what the Bible said at first either. He's very new. He was not raised in the church at all, so he barely knows anything, but he's trying. So. But yeah, so that's a praise report. Like, praise God that he's actually trying, and just pray that he continues to, and that maybe he gets the desire to read more and maybe even listen to Sovereign God. Yeah.
Well, that'd be awesome. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for placing a hunger in his heart to run out to you, Lord, and to read and study the word in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. All right, that's a good one. All right, anybody else? Judy, is you fixing to say something? Y'all are unmuted.
Oh. Didn't know we were unmuted.
No, we didn't.
Yeah, I could tell.
That's okay. Praise the Lord. Amen. For everything.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. That's right. All right. Anybody else? I want to pray again for my granddaughter's husband, Ryan. Found out today the doctors down there in Houston told him that what was the term they used? Uncurable, but treatable. Yeah. I said, what does that mean? Yeah, they want the money. And it's just, but anyway, Lord, I just ask and I pray that you bring Ryan and Tiffany to the place to where he'll rely on you. You're cheaper, you're better. Matter of fact, you're the healer. And Father, I thank you for doing that for Ryan. I ask that you give him lots of grace and mercy. He was brought up in an apostate religion. He doesn't even know about healing that you do. But Lord, I'm just asking you to show favor and grace and mercy to Ryan and just go ahead and heal him and bring that glory to him, Lord. I ask that in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen and amen. And I believe he will. Everybody believe with me? Amen. Thank you, Lord. I believe it. Ryan is healed in Jesus' name. And a child and a running after you, Lord. All right. Yeah, Debbie. Denny. Somebody.
Yeah. You put your hand up too? Who goes first? I will. Yeah, it's good to be back and see everybody on the conference call here. We've been off for like 3 weeks. And it was good to get on for the morning meetings. We're in Illinois with our daughters and because our grandson had surgery. We had to take off quickly one night because he was going to go in the next day. He had terrible headaches and they discovered it was his shunt because he has a shunt because he was a hydrocephalus child. And it was all kinked up and he had problems with it. And his pressure was in the, was all backed up into his brain. And so, and he had a lot of fluid and had terrible headaches. And so they rushed in, they took care of that. And we went to be the two other children, because there's no one there to watch them. So, but we weren't going to go. And then this happened. So we had to go and we wound up staying because we had two children coming in from Colorado. And so they wanted us to stay. So we stayed. And it was good. It was, the Lord was just really gave us grace. He had to, because it was kind of hard. It was kind of stressful. A lot. It was stressful. But what I am blessed about is to know that we can come back to, or if, like, even get on the calls there, that we could get on the morning meetings. But if we were able to get on Zoom, we would have. But to know that we could be, we'd be able to, and that we can come back to this. And because I see that, like, our daughter has, she just has nothing, no Christian fellowship at all. You know, just seeing how empty to not have this fellowship with believers, and no one to encourage her. And I'm glad we could be there. And it just really, what a big difference. Just couldn't wait to get back and with everybody again. And we had a lot of good times on praying with, talking to Victory and praying with her. And we've prayed a lot for her. Well, Jonah's father, Evan, I think you might remember his name. We've mentioned him before in prayers and stuff. And he just would never hold a job, nothing. He was never there for Jonah now and then. But anyway, God's really answered prayer, and he's got a really good plumbing job. He's got his own company truck, and he's being trained, and they go into the suburbs of Chicago to work. It's just amazing that he's got this job after, ever since we've known him, he's never had one like this. And so he's got this job. And the day we were there, day after Christmas, he came early and was with Jonah all day. And he was still there when we were on our way home. He was still there. And I think it looked like 9 o'clock that night. So that was just God really answering prayer. I think God is doing something in him. And I just really just want to praise God for answering that prayer. And then God is just working in Victory, because Jonah has not been had any schooling at all since being home, but because of the COVID stuff. And he's not one that she can teach. And she's not even wanting to try, because he's very willful. And we've been praying God just put on her heart to try to do something with him. So she texted me today and said that, look at Jonah. She showed me a picture of his name. Look at Jonah's name. He wrote today, I was teaching him, and it was kind of hard, but I stopped after 15 minutes so I wouldn't get too impatient with him. And she was saying how, please keep praying for me, because I'm just going to keep pressing in to do this. And so that's just the working that God is doing in her. I can tell to have a desire to do what needs to be done for Jonah and the good for him. And then that she feels good for herself, that she's good about herself, that she's doing something that's so helpful for Jonah. So just God's answering prayers. And another daughter of ours we were able to talk to, and God's still moving in her, and Gloria, and she's really wanting to get back into the Word. And we still be free from anxiety that she shared with us about one time that she's, you know, been dealing with a lot of anxiety. So anyway, just gonna share what a good time was there. And thank God that he opened the door for us to go, even though it had to be those circumstances, but we went. So it was good. So I'll be back to see you all. And
yes,
and in the presence of God's people is wonderful.
And one of our nephews, my oldest sister's first son, we found out when we were up there that he gave his life to the Lord. He has a pulmonary fibrosis or something like that, something hardening in the lung area, and it usually it takes your life. I think he's got 40% of his breathing capacity, and he's had it for a while and has never said nothing. But I got a chance to talk to him and with a few others around, you know, and he asked him about the Lord. He said, yeah, if he was trusting the Lord. He said, yes, yes, I am. And I said, did you ask him to forgive you for all your sins? Yes, I did. You know, you're trusting him for your salvation? Yes, I am. He's just very, you know, and I know God had him is in a tender spot. So we just, at his confession, we just trust that he's really walking with the Lord now. And we did pray for his healing. So I want to have us all to join our faith together for that. I mean, in our way, you know, he's entitled to it as a believer and receive miracles. So his name is Johnny Richmond. So Father, we pray for Johnny right now. Father, we just curse this pulmonary stuff that he has in his lungs, whatever it is. And Father, we ask for that quick and healing to him. Father, let him see the power of your promises, the word and your promises. I pray that he would cling to them and help us in our communications now with him in the days ahead, Father, to encourage him in the Lord. And we just thank you for his salvation. So that was glorious. Amen.
Yeah.
Jesus.
It's really kind of exciting because when Danny and his brother got saved, he was in a Catholic family. His twin brother got saved first and shared with Danny, and Danny got saved. And then his sister got saved, and then his mom got saved. And it just kind of started spreading. And so seeing this happen, and now this is his sister's son. And this is another sister that we're pretty sure has came around to the Lord before she passed, because she would make comments and little things on Facebook and comments I would make, spiritual things and like amen and just little things. And then Johnny started doing the same thing about a year ago. Started noticing, wow, he's commenting on things, he's reading things, and he's responding back. And so I knew that you wouldn't do that unless God's doing something there. So seeing this happen again, and to go through that Richmond family now is gonna, I know that God's gonna use Johnny as a light, as he used Denny and Danny and their family. Mm-hmm. So thank you, God, that you're gonna do that work, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Got some more people in the kingdom. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Going to be a big party when we get up yonder, I'm telling you. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Y'all come on over to my house anytime. I'm just open invitation. But call before you come over, you know, I'm just saying. All right, who's next? Anybody getting excited about what's happening in the spiritual realm? Glory to God, yeah. Telling you. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Anybody else got a testimony, praise report, prayer request, a comment, a song? Y'all don't believe what I did this morning. I know Missy will, and Denny and Debbie and Sue will. At the end of the meeting, we have a meeting every morning on fellowship, on the local fellowship, a prayer meeting. And at the end of the meeting, I played for them, zippity-doo-da, zippity-a, my oh my, what a wonderful day. And I played the original from 1946. Uncle Remus singing that song. It was pretty neat. I enjoyed it myself. I don't know if anybody else did, but I did. Wasn't that spiritual, but it was a happy song. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody else? That's my song. That's all I'm going to say. I ain't going to sing no more. What is that, Judy? Yeah, I see that. Oh, my. All right. Yeah, Bonita.
I just want to comment. Missy, last time we were together on Saturday, mentioned about reading Psalm 45 and Isaiah 45. And I went and read those, and it was just so amazing how just right on with the 45th president, and just seems like it. He's just talking right about him. So glad she brought that up and was able to go read those. It was encouraging.
Yeah, Missy.
Don't forget Jeremiah. I'm not Jeremiah. Genesis 45, too, talks about preservation. The Lord on using Joseph to preserve. It's pretty awesome.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Because we know the chump's going to be in it. It doesn't make any difference what the network say, what any of them say. The man is going to be in office. The Lord told us that 5 or 6 years ago. Here come Dave. Praise God, he got off tonight. Thank you, Lord. Uh-oh. I'm overloaded here. Denny, go ahead.
Yeah, while I was up north, I was looking at Isaiah 45 about that whole story, you know, and it's all of God's work. He calls Cyrus his servant, and he raised him up to help my servant Israel. He said, my servant. So he raised up Cyrus to help Israel, his servant, which he calls all through that section in Isaiah from 42 on. He calls Israel his servant. So he raises up Cyrus, and he's going to lead him and guide him and all the things it tells what he's going to, you know, he's going to open the world before him, and nothing's going to stop him. He's going to use him mightily to touch nations, overthrow kings and kingdoms. And yes, I mean, it's quite an awesome thing. And so when the prophets around the country were, when Trump was coming into office, they were prophesying that the Lord showed them that Trump was going to be a Cyrus, you know, kind of like a modern day Cyrus. It was going to repeat what God did with Cyrus. And when you get down in verse 8 and 45, it says that God says he's going to cause righteousness to fall down from the sky like rain that waters the earth. So you can imagine, you know how rain waters the earth and something grows. Well, like he's going to cause righteousness to rain down from the sky, and what will spring forth from the earth is salvation and justice and righteousness. So that was one of the work that he's doing, and I think we're going to see that, you know, that he's going to, this is God saying, you know, that kind of we can have, you know, we're to have the faith to believe for it, and that's our part. And then in that chapter, I think it's 7 times he mentions, I'm doing this so that the whole world, I think he mentions the nations at one time, he mentions so that the whole world will know that I alone am God. There is no other God. I mean, that's the highest purpose, I guess, is that the whole world would know. So he's using what's going on in America and what's going on, that what we're seeing firsthand here, is he's going to use that to touch all the nations. And he is going to bring that righteousness down to the earth, and it is going to spring forth. Something's going to grow from that. And so that's an awesome thing that God did through Cyrus. So, and he's doing it through Trump. So we thank you, Father, do it. Rain that righteousness down from heaven and spring forth salvation, Lord, and that would cause righteousness and justice to be upon the earth. And God, and that all the world and all the nations would know that you alone are God, and there is no other God. And so we thank you for that, God. We just agree with that word, Father. It's true. We agree with it. Thank you in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for your prophecies, for your prophets that tell us that. And Lord, you know something? We believe it too. We trust you and believe you're going to bring this to pass. I know there's going to be some shaking going on. You're going to shake the apostate church, and you're going to shake your people out of them. And we thank you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that those people that are shook out of those churches are our people. Lord, we thank you for it. Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Anybody else? Let me get over here on the next page, see if I can see anybody over there raise my hand. Go ahead, Judy.
I'd like to pray for Amy and Angie. I thank you, Father, for the time that we had with them. I pray that all the words, all the seeds that were planted, I pray, Father, they will grow, that they would be watered, and that you would have the increase in them, that you would keep their eyes, spiritual eyes open, their spiritual ears open, and they would see their need to repent of anything that would bring them on closer to you, and they would just keep turning their hearts to you and just recognize those things that they need to let go of and just turn to you. And thank you for the healing that you've given Angie on her nose, Lord. Thank you, Father, and help her to keep standing on your promises for that. And we just bind up all the evil spirits that would want to hinder their walk with you, hinder their life with you, and even hinder that healing in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And those demons to go. Stay away in the name of Jesus. No anxiety, no fear. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Hey, Judy, did they have a good time?
Yes, they had a great time, and they loved everybody that they met. They just were impressed with everybody. They were very happy that, you know, they understood more than why I was here. It helped them to understand that, you know, and they went back feeling really good about everything. And they've landed, and they're in the car now. They're driving back to North Manchester, which will be about 40 minutes. So thank you, Lord, for giving them a safe trip in the airplane and a safe trip in the car. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Father.
Yeah. Very receptive to what I noticed to everybody. Very good.
Amen.
And they listened to everything that was said, too. And Angie was really pleased about praying for her.
Yeah.
Okay. Tell her not only be pleased, thank God, because it's happening.
Right. I mean,
amen.
Yes.
And she may have to tell the Lord to stop growing it. You know what I'm saying? It could be way on out there, you know. The faith that was in that room, girl. Or well, he's got.
She has a court date in January that she has to go to court for. And the lawyer said he would wait till after she had her operation on her nose. You know, I just have a feeling the Lord's going to have this court date, and he's going to make it possible that she's not going to be able to have the operation so that he can get the glory and do the work.
She won't need it.
She's not going to do
well,
that.
Well, we've already prayed the prayer of faith last night, so she's not going to need that surgery, and that judge is going to be awesome. He's going to look at her, and he's going to turn her loose.
Oh, this
yes,
will be
Lord,
so.
We want you.
Dismiss it. This case dismissed. This ain't the same girl.
Yep. When she gets her nose back, I'm just going to show everybody.
She's already got it back, Judy. Remember that. Amen.
I
want to
praise the Lord then, too.
All right. All right. Amen. I believe it. Go ahead, Phil.
I just had a question. Maybe somebody can enlighten me. A common thing, we got together with family during the holidays, I guess we'd call it. And one common theme that kept coming up was the kids need all of this, what do you call it? Give them gifts of candy in church, you know, they need all this, like all these activities. And I mean, to me, it seems like the kids are dragging the church down, you know, into all of these activities that shouldn't even be there, you know. And the elders understand it's not needed, but it's for the kids, you know. And it just kind of hit me. I was like, why are the kids leading the church? I mean, it says to be like kids, right? But not in that way, right?
Mm-hmm. As long as your fellowship follows the tenets of the Word of God, what would you worry about anything else?
Right.
I don't know. What are you talking about, your old fellowship that y'all were in?
Yeah, the previous one.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. They like to cater to the kids, try to get the kids in the church, keep the kids in the church. We got to keep the kids in the church. You don't think God can do that? You know, that's what I'd say. What happened to faith here?
Yeah.
And anyway, y'all know how it is. But Lord, we just pray that you would open up the mind's eyes of the elders in the church to read and study the Word of God to find out what a successful church is like. A successful church is like Jesus. That's what it's like. You study the Word of God not to study the Word of God. You study the Word of God to find out who Jesus was and how do I act like Jesus? Praise God.
Amen.
Not to how much candy we can get the kid or whatever they do. You know, I know I enjoyed those things when I was growing up in an apostate church. But I was a kid. Yeah, Missy.
I've spoken before about what I believe the Lord's shown me and things that David has said has helped me with this. As far as the children, you know, when you have all these programs, do this, that, and the other thing, and they're taken off and they're taught by people other than their parents. In the Bible, parents are the ones that are given the responsibility to teach the kids. And what happens is the children end up respecting more of what other people say than what their parents say. They don't respect the parents. And that's, I guess, basically because, you know, you know, lots of times all these programs, they just feed the kids flesh. It's a thing of trying to feed their flesh to get them to want to stay. And that's not what you're supposed to be doing. You're supposed to be teaching them the Word of God. But the thing of it is people think they need these programs and have to teach the kids this, that, and because the parents aren't doing the job they're supposed to be doing. So that's just how I feel about it. Too many parents don't do what they're supposed to do. But I know that's different with you, Theo. But and I believe that's, you know, not the norm with us. That's the norm with apostate church. So
you hit the nail on the head with the parents aren't doing their part. That's exactly what it is. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Passing the buck to the Sunday school teachers, to, you know, the preachers. Yeah.
Who don't know God.
Yep.
For the most part. Yeah. You know something, just something interesting that I read yesterday. I was reading about the Anabaptist, the history of the Anabaptist. And I came across this article by this young man that was a Mennonite. And y'all, everybody knows what a Mennonite is, don't they? Yes, it's a form of Anabaptist that came up. Anyway, I read this about this young man and his quest to find out the history of his church, and he found out that the early Anabaptists were holiness people. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were all of these things that we strive to be, you know. And he found out also that they didn't read the Word to know the Scriptures. They read the Word to be like the Word. And that's what he found out. And he took it to the people in the church. He said, look, this is what we need to be doing. And guess what? They changed. To their credit, they started doing that. They started, this is Mennonites. Now, if you know anything about the Mennonites, they're kind of worldly people, but they want to look like they're holy. You know, kind of like the Amish. But these people started finding this, I'm talking about now, today, they're starting to read the Word and do what the Word says rather than just learning Scripture, which to me is awesome. That's what we're doing here. We're learning to be like Jesus. We're learning what it is to walk and talk and act like Jesus. And that is so awesome to me to find out that this great big large group of people are starting to come into the truth of the gospel. It's awesome. Amen. We got a group coming in here in this area just now I'm not going to say the name of them, but they're Anabaptist, very worldly. But anyway, difference. There's a lot of difference in them. Go ahead, Phil.
I have a question. So I was thinking about this the other day as I was studying and reading the scriptures. I realized that when I used to go to the regular churches, most of the sermons I heard focused on the cross. This is your cross. This is our cross. This is what we do. This is the cross you got to carry. But nobody preached that the cross was for the crucifying of the carnal man. They don't really teach that. But they talk a lot about the cross. And I started to realize that we don't hear much about being taught about the cross. At least I don't, nothing came to mind here at UBM, because the purpose of the cross is simply to crucify the old man. That's where the focus is. And so is it simply man's teaching to focus on the cross, or does the cross really have any significance to us other than crucifying us? Because,
what is the highest part of our life? It's the resurrection part. The resurrection of Christ in us.
Yes.
And stop at the cross and don't go to the resurrection, which is where God wants us. They Amen. Don't go they don't go far enough. They just stop at the cross and they think I know a well known preacher down in Baton Rouge. That's all he preaches is the cross. He hadn't gotten the revelation of the resurrection life of Jesus Christ in us.
Yeah.
They don't go far enough.
That's
the cross is necessary.
They just don't go far enough.
That's right. The cross is necessary. They just don't go far enough to bear the fruit.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus, for opening our eyes up. Go ahead, Debbie.
I realized we're already unmuted. I didn't realize we're already unmuted. Hello. Okay, I was going to say that so many think that bearing their cross is, they're so, what's the word I want to say? Like righteous in that they bear their cross. Like their cross is like their sickness. You know, their cancer, or their this, or their that, in that way.
Yeah, you're right.
That's what they think bearing their cross means, and it's just such a horrible lie from the devil. They don't realize that what it really is, that Jesus wasted the work on the cross. Then, if that's what the cross is to bear, for them to bear, but we know it's to bear. The cross is to take up the cross, and like be the crucifixion of our flesh. So. Yeah, but I have a couple people's sisters and that talk that way, bearing their cross, and they're just, you know, this is the cross I have to bear.
That's right. No, honey, you ain't got to do that.
Right.
We have a resurrected life. Glory to God. 2 Peter 2:24 is one of them. Thank you, Father. Yeah, Missy.
I'd like to comment on what Debbie said. You know, it's once again not going far enough in a sense, what Michael was saying. You know, the sickness is, you know, my cross. Okay. If it's your cross, then it's your cross to believe that you don't have to do anything. You're dead. You're dead. Your works aren't going to save you. Jesus already saved you. And your cross is to believe in the Lord's works and not your works. So
he died so that we might live, right? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. We just need to tool on by the cross and go on up to the hill. Hey, Dave.
Good evening. It seems like we're going to cover this topic just a little bit, the beginning in Romans 12. So are we going
to... Are you trying to speed us along there? Is that what you're trying to do?
Kind of we're going to jump into that. Is that what we're doing?
We can. We can. Just whatever. Let's see what Pat has there. Go ahead, Pat.
Before we get into that, I just want to... The Lord kind of gave me something this weekend, and I just wanted to kind of share it. It's kind of by way of confession and revelation at the same time, which, so I kind of wanted to, this weekend, obviously through the Christmas holidays and everything was busy and, overloaded, it seemed like a lot of pressure, and it just seemed like I felt like I was getting deeper and deeper in the fog, I guess you might say, and just duller and duller to the Lord, and my prayer and Bible study in the morning just seemed fruitless, and I started feeling a sense of I don't know if it's depression or maybe it's kind of a sense of failure. You know, I have all these thoughts of failure and disillusionment or maybe discouragement or whatever. I am easily tempted to go down that path of self-pity and woe is me and type of thing, and to the point where I got like just started vegging out spending my time, you know, like watching movies or just wasting my time or whatever, and all the time just feeling this inner sense of condemnation, like I'm just wasting everything. So I got up Sunday morning, and I was kind of crying out to the Lord. I don't know if I was complaining or just crying out, and I was confessing, you know, my sin, my prayerlessness, my density, the feeling of distance from Him, and the whole thing, and the interesting. And so he took me to some verses, which I'd like to share. One of them, obviously, I started off with 1 John 1:9 and confessing my sin. And then he took me over to kind of the parallel version or scripture in the Old Covenant in Ezekiel 36. And it's kind of interesting that... Denny was talking a little bit about the same example, excuse me, at the end of this chapter, but this is something that the Lord showed me, and I would like to share it because I'm not sure if maybe others have taken this the same way as I have. And I just wanted to read this section of scripture in Ezekiel 36, chapter 36, verse 25. It said, and this is when God was through Ezekiel was prophesying that he was going to gather his people back out of bondage, the bondage that they were in, and he was going to do a new work in them. And it speaks as a pattern of the new covenant relationship that God has established with us. He said, I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. 1 John 1:9, correlates to that. And then this is the part that kind of hit me. He said, a new heart, verse 26, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my ordinances and do them. And the thing that I guess the revelation that kind of hit me was that there's two things that God is doing here. And I had been probably for the past 2 years reading the writings of some of the old holiness preachers, the Wesley, John Wesley, and some of the holiness movement, and that whole aspect where God was bringing out the aspect of holiness and sanctification as being an integral part of salvation. And in fact, many saw this aspect of God's sanctifying process, or coming into a place, a position of faith of sanctification or holiness, that it was almost, they described it as a second born again type of experience, a very empowering, powerful born again rebirth, shall we say, of a Christian that, you know, had been a Christian for many, many years, and yet they taught that you can go into a deeper aspect of God's life through this, through their teachings. And you just have to go back and read some of the stuff. I would caution you, when you go back to read that stuff, you have to realize that the churches that have evolved from their original foundation or founding writings have nothing whatsoever to do with the original writings. I mean, those churches don't even look, they have no resemblance whatsoever to the actual foundational teachings of some of these people. But anyway, as I realized that the Lord showed me, there's two things happening in here that he is doing. Because I always took this verse 26, a new heart also will I give you, and I'll put a new spirit within you. I always took that as the receiving, our receiving of the Holy Spirit, as evidence with speaking in tongues, and that this was exactly that. And in fact, it is in fact that. But there is a subtle aspect that I hadn't thought about until Sunday, when it kind of just popped into my mind as I thought about it. And it's very subtle. And he showed me the two aspects of this thing. And when he said, a new heart, I'm going to sprinkle clean water upon you. I'm going to give you the real gospel. the real truth, the real good news. I'm going to sprinkle clean water on you and you'll be cleansed. And he said, also, I'm going to give you a new heart. And I'm going to put a new spirit within you. Two things happening, a new heart and a new spirit. And as I say before, in my mind, as I read these things, I always lumped them in to be one thing. But I think, in fact, I think there's two aspects to this. And he says further, I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh. In other words, the stony heart that you have already, say, when you, from your old Adam package that you inherited through the bloodline, that old stony heart, I'm going to remove it out of your flesh. And I believe that we are spirit creatures given a body and breathed into us the spirit of life, and becoming, and as we have become a living soul in this body, this spirit and my living soul within my body, there's a separate thing happening here. That package, when he says, I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and then he says, I will give you a heart of flesh. And it seems like it's two of the same thing. It's, he's taken a stony heart out of me, out of my flesh, and he's putting in my flesh, back in my flesh, a heart of flesh. There's a transfer, an exchange there that's happening, that happens. And I believe if you go back and again read the holiness preachers in those days, they speak of two aspects of sin. One being the sins that we commit, that we commit and that we need to be forgiven for, etc. Those in Ezekiel 25, in verse 25, it says, I sprinkle clean water on you, you confess your sins and be forgiven and cleansed. But there's another aspect of sin, and that is the sin, the nature, which has been passed on to us in the bloodline, that nature cannot be forgiven because it hasn't done anything wrong. It just is wrong. It is the heart and inspiration for wrong deeds within us, but until it commits an act through us, that nature is not, it can't be forgiven because it has not sinned, so to speak, hasn't committed a sin. The only answer and solution that God has given for that is the cross, which we've been talking about tonight. And it cannot be forgiven. It can only be crucified. It can only be removed. Jesus is the Lamb of God that came to remove, take away the sin of the world. And this verse here spoke to me of exactly that. I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. I will give you a heart of flesh. Then in verse 27, he said, and I will put my spirit within you. And what the Lord showed me is that there's a subtlety about being aware of something. If you're not aware of it, if you're not aware of its existence, you can't take advantage of it. You can't receive it. You can't ask for something that you don't know you need, because you have to be aware of it. And for whatever reason, whether it be my upbringing through the religious system or whatever, I've always missed that little subtle section of these verses, that there is that promise that God will take away that stony heart, that nature which needs to be crucified. He will take it away from us. He's made provision to take it away and put His heart, replace it, exchange it with His heart, a heart that He has designed that will function within our flesh. And couple that with then receiving His Holy Spirit, the end result of that combination, I believe, is that the motivation, the overwhelming inner motivation will be there to walk in His statutes and keep His ordinances and do them. There will be that overwhelming, overwhelming motivation from within, because there is a clean heart coupled with a new spirit. So I probably said more than I need to say right now, but the end result, if you read through the rest of this chapter, he's telling us that because of this process, he is not doing this for us. He hasn't made this provision for us. As a matter of fact, in verse 22, he says, I do not do this for your sake, O house of Israel, but for my holy name. And this gets back to what Denny was talking about. And I will sanctify my great name, which has been profaned among the nations. Even in our 2,000 years of Christianity, that name has eroded and it has been profaned. The example of Christ has been profaned in the world today as a result. And he said, which has been profaned in the midst of them, and the nations shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord Jehovah, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. And so I end up with what I'm saying in the verse that he took me to at the very end, and that is, thus saith the Lord in verse 37, for this whole awareness, salvation, fullness, sanctification, holiness, for this happening within you, where I will be sanctified in you to reveal myself to the nations, I will yet be inquired by the house of Israel to do it for them. And so I just end it with that, because I believe that the Lord showed me that somehow I skipped over the promise and the believing of the fulfillment of that promise of a new heart, a stony heart being removed and a new heart being replaced, coupled with His Spirit, His receiving His Spirit. And so I not only confess my sin, but confess my ignorance and confess my trust that God will do it within us. And so I just wanted to share that, what the Lord gave me this week related to that.
And okay. All right. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody else? Okay. Let's get into that. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, so he's talking to us, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service. Now, I'm going to stop there and ask y'all, what is he calling us here? What is this he's talking about? And I'll tell you what the first thing that came to my mind when I read that the other day. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God. And the first thing I thought about was surrendering it all to the Lord. Absolute surrender. And then I thought of something else, but I'll bring that up later. All right, and I'm going to leave it at that and let y'all take over.
Yeah.
Go ahead, babe. Raise your hand, y'all.
Well, when Phil brought up the idea that in the congregation there, like all about a pastor always talk about the cross and about bringing up being on the cross. Well, this kind of start to go there a little bit. Because it's talking about no longer walking in the flesh, but using your body as a living sacrifice, which means what does a priest do? He offers sacrifices, and how he's offer that sacrifice is that it's not doing the will of the flesh, it's doing the will of the Spirit now. It's walking by the Spirit, not by the flesh. And so by being a present your body as a living sacrifice is when you're walking in the Spirit and you're doing the will of the Lord, you're no longer doing your own thing, but you're, like you said, absolute surrender to the Lord. You're actually doing that. Your body is that living sacrifice now. It's no longer the vessel of it's used from the past for whatever carnal reasons you wanted to use it for. Now it's being submitted to the spiritual man. So that's that spiritual sacrifice. And that's holy and acceptable to God because it says it's your spiritual service. Now he's the one that's walking in you and doing his will and his good pleasure because you're submitted to him. You're walking by faith, not by sight. And you're being directed by the Lord. That's the place we want to come to. That's where, as Christians, we want to abide. That's abiding in Christ fully at that point. That's kind of where I was seeing that. That's the fulfillment of walking, of going to the cross. This is that walking and that fulfillment of it.
Amen. Go ahead, Sue.
I was thinking the same thing that, it's like dying to self. It's like putting your flesh on the cross and saying, no, I'm not going to be following my flesh. I'm not going to be following the self. I'm going to give that whole flesh, put it on the cross and just follow the Lord in the Spirit. Like he was, basically what he was saying. Denying the self, taking up our cross and following Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Go ahead, Missy.
Well, what comes to my mind is a continual burnt offering. Laying down our life, Lord said, no greater love hath man than this, than he lay down his life for his friend. Denying yourself, taking up your cross and following the Lord, because that's what he did. He laid down his life. Love one another as I have loved you. And in the Old Testament, the continual burnt offering, that's what the continual burnt offering is. And a continual burnt offering also is resting from your own works. I mean, it's the rest. It's the Sabbath rest. You know, if you're denying yourself and taking up your cross, then you're resting in the Lord. You're resting from your works and walking by his Spirit and receiving his grace. And he's living through you. He's the one that's doing the work through you. It's because you're dead. Your old man is dead. The old man is dead. We put on Christ, you know, the new man. We're a new creation, you know. So that's what that means to me.
Amen. Go ahead, Andrew.
Yeah, I was just looking at the by the mercies of God. And if you just go a couple of verses above this, there's two areas here in 29 and 30, 31 and 32, mercy is mentioned three times. And the cross and everything isn't going to happen unless mercy and grace is given to you, and that you're going to ask for it, because he's going to render to you, knowing that you're doing something wrong here. You have a disobedience here. And for God hath shut up all unto disobedience, that he might have mercy upon all. So that's one of the mercies there. And it also mentions, just as ye in the past were disobedient to God, and now have obtained mercy by the disobedience of these, thus have these also now been disobedient, that by the mercy shown to you, they also may now obtain mercy. So this mercy is really important for us to seek the mercy of God. He makes things known to you on what he might not want from you, and then you have to be, of course, in line with his mercy and in line to know what to ask him too. And God's a big God. He knows what to do. And, you know, I was just reading 12 today, and the whole of 12 is the cross. You know, some of the examples that we've gotten from How Shall We Die and stuff. And so it's largely depend upon this mercy that God has to give to us. He mercifully, like you first heard, your salvation, it was mercifully given to you. Why would he stop at your born again time? Why would he stop at your into the likeness of for you Baptists, or your creation in Christ, or your regeneration? You know, he has to give you the ability to know that you also have authority, yes, but he still has to give you mercy. It's all part of your growth here in Christ. He doesn't leave you orphan. That's even a verse, you know, that he doesn't leave you orphan. So just as any father would show mercy to a son or a baby or a child, you know, the toddler uses your coffee table to learn how to walk, and he goes around and around and and he's even got padding if he falls. And so, you know, he's not going to get angry with him because he fell doing his walk around the table, or he's not going to get angry with his three-year-old because he thinks that shiny thing on top of the stove is licorice. So he's more worried that he might touch that hot plate on the top of the stove. So there are things there that the child has to learn that are dangerous in life today too. And there are dangers that you shouldn't go into. You know, some people make laws out of these things. And what you need is the fulfillment of the law. And that's grace from God. It's always grace that saves through faith, and it's a gift from God. And to explain this to a worldly person, they're going, what are you doing? You know, don't you know it's, they'll even say it's the law, you know, like there's examples where you can see where a Christian might say, well, that's against the law. And they know they're talking to a worldly person. And that's the only the way the worldly person would understand it. And even young Christians say this, you know, that's against God's law. But what you should be saying is that's against the fulfillment of God's law. Because he came to fulfill the law and the prophets in us. And he can only do that through his mercy and grace. So I agree with the cross and everything. And it's the recognizing of it. So he has to even give you that. Recognizing you're wrong in something. And then you go, wow, you know, and that's God functioning in you. Or sometimes it might come across where, for instance, I'll give you an example that happened to me when Canada, they had the movers and shakers for abortion. I wouldn't have anything to do with that, you know. So I didn't vote for that party. That was way back. And then I was warned, don't ever go that way again with that kind of party. And of course, they were the same to open something else here in Canada the very next election. They were the movers and shakers behind something else. And you see, the Lord protects you from that. He takes you out of that. He takes you out of the former denomination you were in because he's giving you something by grace. Because, you know, when you go from the Roman Catholics to the Christian Reforms to the Pentecostals to the Church of God, and you're finding almost the same mistake in all of them, you know, he's using your little bit that you do know that to put you in a place where you're going, well, I got nowhere else to go. And you're trying to figure out, well, where is this institution that's the Church of God? Or where is this institution that's going to follow God the way you're supposed to? And, you know, it's five items, you know, and I'm going, I'm not really that smart. None of these are getting it right. You know, so here in obedient nature, to read God's word, it's revealed to you by mercy, and now it's in your court what you're going to do with it now. The mercy of God, mercy triumphs over judgment, and there's another one about mercy and obedience and sacrifice too. So. Praise God for his mercy, because it endureth forever.
Amen. Go ahead, Gina.
Hi. I was talking with my sister today, and my sister Carrie, and she and I had a really good fellowship, but we were talking a little bit about this today, and she brought up that she'd been doing a word search on on the altars and what all the altars are for and all that kind of stuff. And this verse she brought up too about presenting your body as a living sacrifice. And I guess what I was saying is like, yeah, we present our bodies of flesh, old flesh, to be a living sacrifice. We lay down our lives to have his life. We don't defend ourselves. We don't fight back. We don't murmur and complain. We go through all our fiery trials on the altar of that sacrifice that, you know, we put ourselves on, relying upon the mercies of God that he'll help us go through these sufferings as we let the wood, hay, and stubble of our lives burn up, as we, you know, die. We are a living sacrifice. This flesh is on that altar. And we learn to rely on the mercy of God and ask him for his help, you know, as you go through it. And it is your flesh is being burnt up on that altar. And that's just kind of what was coming to me today when we were talking in that. And then Michael read in that email about, that's interesting. We're just talking about that. I just believe it's just your flesh, you know, is your living sacrifice. And if we didn't have God's mercy and grace, we wouldn't be able to endure it. Counting on him. That's all. That's all I want to share.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, Pat.
I guess I was thinking about the fact that that's kind of an oxymoron in that verse when he says, present your bodies a living sacrifice. One is living and the other one is dead. But it's a sacrifice, meaning it hasn't happened yet, but it is designated for the altar. I remember a teaching one time of how to, that we have died, I think it was in Romans 6, talking about how we've died in Christ. When Christ went to the cross, we were in him, we died. So we, the teaching that was related to that was for the purpose of bringing us into the awareness of the fact that we are, they have a saying, like on death row, a dead man walking, that man is alive, but he's already sentenced to death. He's just waiting out his time. And every morning when he gets up, the expectation for that man when he wakes up that day is that he is going to die. But he wakes up alive and he's been given one more day to live. And because of that one more day to live, we start out our day, shall we say, in gratefulness to God that we are already dead, but we have this day to live for you. You've given us this extra day. And a thing that when Jesus taught, basically be thankful for today, and today is the only day that you are guaranteed when you wake up, and live this day as it's your last type of thing. And so that whole concept of being dead yet alive at the same time, it kind of marries that awareness together in that gratefulness to God. And And it's interesting that Jesus talked to even Mary at the time that he was preparing to raise Lazarus, and when he was teaching her, and she was saying, well, yes, Lazarus will be raised in the last day and in the resurrection. And Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he be dead, yet shall he live. And he was even explaining that paradox at the same time. The dead, even though that one is dead, that you are dead, you are alive at the same time. That whole thing happening together at the same time. And so I guess this is just the kind of the aspect that I got out of that, being a living sacrifice. You're already dead. Give what you have today to Christ, and so by doing, enter into that life of fellowship with Him. But anyway, that's all I had to say.
Amen. Go ahead, Dominic.
No, it's a Dominic.
Okay, I was just going to say stuff about like how originally we were created in His image, but then, you know, Adam, you know, made his mistakes, and then, you know, sin came into the world, and, you know, we were made to like the beasts of the field and stuff, like unbelievers are like the beasts of the field. But even in the Old Testament, when they like sacrificed animals, they would, you know, would burn them as a offering, and it would be a pleasant scent to the Lord. And then how that's likened to us, like how our flesh is similar to, you know, acting like the beast of the field. And when we sacrifice ourselves, whether it be something like to do with stop sinning, or even just something that our flesh is enjoying, and we continue to stop doing that as a sacrifice to God, then it is a pleasant smell to Him in a spiritual way too. So like the burnt offerings are still going on, just in the spiritual, not in the physical. So yeah, that's all I had to say. It kind of got addressed a little bit, but I just wanted to throw that piece of the field part on there.
Amen. That's good. Thank you, Dominic. Go ahead, Sue or Judy.
Yeah, a verse just came to me, and I recognize that verse as when we have to sacrifice the flesh, you know, like it is a burnt offering. But if I read the scripture, if that's okay, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings being conformed to His death, in order that I may attain to resurrection from the dead. I was thinking of that, our, you know, the sacrifice. When you make a sacrifice, it's painful in a way, you know, it's like it's something that you don't normally do. It's not easy to make a sacrifice, so it's going to be some suffering here. And I guess that's why that scripture came to me, because when we deny the self, it's not easy to do sometimes. It's a suffering. So, but in order for us to gain the Lord and to gain His understanding and what He's all about, we have to sacrifice that flesh so that we can gain the Lord and to know Him, to know what His word really means, to know what His life is really all about. So we have to put our flesh under and burn that flesh, which can be painful at times, but it's all for to be conformed and made into His image. Thank the Lord for that. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. All right, anyone else? Yeah, Tim.
No, we don't have anything. I don't know. I wasn't paying real close attention here, but one thing that struck me in that first verse was But the sacrifice, if we're to be presentable as a sacrifice, that we've got to be without blemish, like the Old Testament sacrifice, if it's going to be acceptable to the Lord. And I don't know if you covered that or not, but that was one thing that struck me right off the get-go when you brought up that the beginning of chapter 12 there.
Amen. Yeah, that's good. Go ahead, Andrew.
Yeah, I'm just going to read another verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16. So that we from now on know no one after the flesh, even though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now we know him so no more. So it's pretty interesting that Paul would say that, because he didn't really meet Jesus in the flesh. So you can't get lettery here with this verse. Okay, we're supposed to know the people after the Spirit, and it's a warning for us in accordance to, I think, Romans chapter 14, where you're supposed to be weak to the weak. So a lot of people read that and they think that he's talking about knowing Jesus when he walked on this earth. But I don't really think it says that there. I'm saying that what he's saying here is a spiritual saying that you're supposed to know no man after the flesh, and you know that there's some that are just coming to the Lord. There could be someone in your vicinity right now that's receiving Christ for the very first time and will be baptized in a couple of days or something. So you have to be patient with these people, knowing that the Lord is going to take care of this, because he's already birthed him the way he birthed you, and you're so much more now to him because you have more of Christ in you, because of your maturing in Christ. And you know, he might leave a spot or a blemish in you that he wants you to know you can have authority to take it out. That he's going to bring this mercy upon you, to know that he's going to cleanse you by maturity. So you're not in a winter place. You're bearing fruit. So another aspect of this is the bearing of Christ's fruit. As a spot and blemish in your soul, it has to be changed for the fruit of Christ to be birthed in your soul. So in order to make it from 30-fold fruit to the 60-fold fruit, there is the individual portion of fruit to get you to the higher numbers. You know, if you want to go from star glory to moon glory, or if you want to be reflecting the light of God, then there has to be a mature basis here. And you have to have that practice in maturity. Because, you know, coming out of Catholicism, you get some maturity there. You don't turn back, you go forward. And to be really safe, you're not really supposed to throw your pearls before the swine. How come I have someone in my workplace who I know worships Satan, but he knows about the 666 and he laughs about it because he thinks Christians are going to cave when it comes? So that's kind of weird. You know, why does this man know scripture verses when he's not saved yet? That's another thing here. People read these scriptures, and he's addressing mostly church people here. You know, when he's addressing Alexander and Hymenaeus there, not to blaspheme, they're in the church. When he's addressing those people in Jude, which sounds a lot like 2 Peter. He's addressing people in the church, what's coming. You know, when he's addressing, two horns like a lamb, but speaks like a dragon, he's addressing the church. There's something in the church. You know, so when he's addressing in Matthew 24:5, that they come in his name, but they deceive, he's addressing the church. He's addressing the church in 9 too, where all the nations are going to do something. So I think that because this altar, which is grace, and the mercies are not seen, and because you got over 40,000 different denominations here, all following a different sequence of events, you know, which you're supposed to be gracious to these people and not know them after the flesh, but just how far do you go that way? Are these people really gonna make it? When you give these evidences there, you know, when you show this to them, you know, this false prophet that was in the book of Titus was in the church. This person in John 3, this Diotrephes, whatever his name is, he was throwing people out of the church. And look at 3 out of 7 churches had actual Satan mentioned in them, of the 7 churches of Revelation. And they all had things some they liked and didn't like. But where is this Philadelphia church now? What happened to it? You'd read that and you'd say, well, that geographical region, they should be existing today. I guess, you know, time happened and something happened. Maybe they were all martyred. Maybe they were put in caves or somewhere around there, and they had to hide themselves from the public, or they fell away. Someone did take their crown. So, you know, I'd appeal to you that sometimes you gotta maybe sometimes think to go back in time when you're reading some of this stuff and actually think what is going on there, and you'll see it's the same stuff going on today. So, you know, there was a lot of things here showing, that, even to say, you know, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, you know, what's happening today? You know, what's that famous verse in Ecclesiastes 1:9? Is it because they're not seeing the mercy? They don't know that they have to present their bodies a living sacrifice to be holy for the holiness way. And it's your service, your spiritual service. So you get stuck with people, you know, who are around you, and you go like, am I being affected by something around me? Or am I going to be like Paul? All things are lawful for me, but I will not be coming under the power of any of these things, you know? Because I'm not going to subject myself to these things. And you have people there in his name. And 24:5, you know, who are these people? Why do they have people who were in the pulpit? And I'm not saying this, I'm just saying this, like today you have people in the pulpit that have been caught in some sort of fornication. But what is this fornication? In accordance to Hebrews 13, to say something is not important anymore. is vanity, but God's word is vanity. Well, we're supposed to abide in Jesus, and he's the name called the Word of God. I think a lot of it is they're just too afraid to come forward with the things because they don't know how to handle it. Like, what do you do? Like, everyone's got someone in their denomination that's just not doing something right, but they don't know what to do about them. Yep. You know, you can go to a Catholic and say, listen, you're not supposed to have abortion. But are some of them being convinced now that it's okay? Whereas before, it wouldn't have been ever even discussed. But now, because the government has stepped in, oh, and they want to call this a Christian nation, that a Christian nation. And there are so many mantras and sayings that have come into the church that this is the infection. And I really appeal that, I don't know if this is the way people meditate, but I kind of meditate on this great division that's there. There is not supposed to be this division. They, I'm going to be polite about it, say they break the verse. It's not my position to make this known to people who are in a church, but they're not saved. And they're being given information. And people are throwing stuff to them for them to eat it, and they don't have the palate for it. So what's going to happen now? They don't have the palate for some of the stuff you've learned at UBM. If they don't even have Christ in them, how can you give someone something to eat when he doesn't have the life to eat it? The life is in the blood. They don't have the blood yet. They're not blood brothers or sisters. I'm not talking about the little children that still have to come through it because the parents believe. So it's just me meditating here at the same time speaking on this, you know, and it's scary. That's what's out there. But you also know what your job will be when he finally does it for you and it comes to pass. Glory to God, agape style.
Amen. Go ahead, Julie. Thank you, Andrew.
Thanks, Andrew. That was good. That was good. Kind of wanted to go back what Tim and Andrew were talking about, the holiness part, that we have to have that, you know, the whole, we have to be holy. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service. And I think that's all a faith confession, that the blood of Jesus is the only thing that makes us holy. Faith in his blood. We're cleansed by his blood. We're covered by his blood. His blood is what makes us holy. And if we're walking, if we continue in the faith and we believe the promises, we've done our part to use the promises and to cleanse ourselves of all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And we're walking in that light, and we continue to walk in faith, and we continue to do that. We are holy in the sight of God because of the blood of Jesus. It's not anything else we can do. It's faith in what Christ already did for us. That's all I wanted to add to that. Thanks.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. That's exactly right. It's all a faith thing. We believe God's doing it according to your faith. But you have to read and study the Word of God, though, in order to understand what he has done for us. Amen. one of the things that I was thinking about when I first read that was that Matthew 5:3, I believe it is. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. The person that is poor in spirit is empty of self. The self is gone. And his service is toward God. And that's kind of where the Lord led me in that respect. When we're empty of self, then there's nothing left but God, right? So that's where God is taking us in this walk, this walk in Romans chapter 12 and 1. Presenting your bodies, living sacrifices, y'all were talking about, acceptable to God. And when you're acceptable to God, you're nothing but God. You're Jesus looking up at God. Then you're accepted. That's our spiritual service. Go ahead, George.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. You go right ahead.
You set me up. I was just thinking about Paul preaching that he, out of him being so highly educated, but all he wanted to know was Christ and him crucified. And like you were just saying, we're done away with, and we've become, you know, we're to be in Christ and him live through us. It's no longer we that live. So if we know Christ and him crucified, we also know ourselves crucified with him. And we know him living through us. And if we focus on those two things, then he gets to live large. I just figured I'd add that.
Amen. Thank you. Go ahead, Sue or Judy.
Another scripture I was talking a little bit with Judy about, Galatians. You know, it talks about walking after the Spirit and then those aspects about walking after the flesh. And the scripture is Galatians 5:16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desires against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. So I was thinking about that, you know, I was thinking about to go on the cross, to deny the self, is to not let the flesh rule. And that we would be able to operate out of the Spirit, which produces the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, you know. And that kind of goes along with the sufferings, you know, because we have to lay our flesh down. We can't let it rule anymore. We need to give it all to the Lord. That's basically.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Dave Nelson, you wait. Okay. All right. Anybody else before we close out? Yeah, go ahead, Jim.
It can wait. I just wanted to make sure everyone was, you know, done sharing with what they wanted to share on these scriptures. I just had something to share.
Okay. I think Petra had her hand up.
I was also waiting for everybody to finish, so I'll go after Julie.
We all can't be last now. Come on. All right. Well, Lord, I just thank you so much for tonight. I praise you, Father, for the words that were brought forth. I enjoyed it, and I thank you for it, Father, and I hope that the people out there listening, I bless these words to go out and anoint people to want to run after you, Lord, in a mighty way, and to get rid of that old self life, and to just want you, Lord, to be just like you, Lord, and to act like you, and to talk like you, and to speak like you, Lord. And we thank you for doing that for each and every one of us. And we know that it's nothing that we can do other than us having the faith to believe that you're doing it in us, Lord. And I praise you and I glorify you. And I thank you for this work, this wonderful work that you're doing in each and every one of us, Lord. Sanctified us by faith. And I praise you, Father, for helping us out and doing it and getting us into that place of fruitful walk, Lord. And I praise you for it in Jesus' name. Bless everybody here with an awesome, awesome night's sleep. And we thank you, Lord, for doing that. And Father, we just ask that when we come back again Thursday, we'll maybe try to fly into the second verse of this chapter. And Lord, I thank you for it. I thank you for it. This is good. This is good. And Father, just place it in us to read and study and meditate on the word the next couple of days. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, all right, folks.
Is Thursday worship time too? Or are we going to have?
Oh, that's right. We got that's right. It's praise time, isn't it? Yeah, we'll have praise time. I've already got some people that sent me some songs, and I think I'll probably sing a song too. Go ahead, Missy. That'll just limit the number of people here, I guarantee you.
I thought Julie and Petra had something they wanted to share.
I'm going to let them.
Okay.
All right. Let's see. Go ahead, Judah.
Something I discovered here a couple weeks ago. If you have an iPhone and you have eSword on your phone, you have that app on your phone. It doesn't do it in all the Bibles, but I know you guys were talking about, some of you listen to the Bible audios. eSword now has on, I noticed this on King James and on the ESV version, there's a play button at the top of your app, and you can hear the audio of scripture.
Jenny, is it robot operated? Is it AI operated, or is it somebody speaking it?
It's someone speaking it.
Okay, good.
It's audio. It's something, you know, how the apps always, he's updating, you know, eSword with different things. Yeah. So it's got an audio on there, and like, it's not an ASV, but it's an ESV, and it's in King James. And I have a couple other Bible versions on here, but you know, so ESV is pretty close to listen to the scriptures. Awesome. So there's a little play button up there. So that's on eSword on your iPhone or iPad. If you have it downloaded,
I probably hadn't uploaded mine since 2010, but anyway.
Yeah, that's all I wanted to share. If you have that app on your iPhone, that's there's awesome. A little play button, so you've got your own audio Bible there, Old Testament, New Testament.
Okay. Thank you. And you need
Wi-Fi, because it wasn't working when I didn't.
Can you download it?
Well, eSword is on your phone, right?
I'm talking it's about an app you download. Report.
But the audio is only available when your Wi-Fi is hooked up.
Ah, okay. I know at Bible.is, you can download the audio.
Okay.
Without the Wi-Fi. Anyhow, yeah, okay.
That's on your mobile device, so thanks.
Yeah. All right, Petra, go ahead, girl.
No, I don't have something to share, but I wanted to ask you and Marilyn to share, because you were so secretly in the beginning, you said, do you expect... or to feel the spiritual changes or something happening in the spirit. I think that was the word. And Marilyn said yes, and you just dropped it out like that at that. Now, I don't think there's time anymore, but I would have loved to know what you were talking about. That's all.
Okay. I didn't get all of that. Are you talking about walking in the spirit, led by the spirit?
Let me help out here.
Yeah.
I think what she's saying is, at the beginning, you said, do you all know, y'all feel what's going on in the spirit? Yeah, at the beginning, y'all getting excited about what's going on in the spirit, or what you said. You didn't expound on that, and I think that's what
didn't have to. I already knew it. Well, being excited in the spirit means that what I was talking about was the things that are coming ahead of us. Because when the things that are coming ahead of us are here, the anointing, the going into the wilderness and stuff, that's when all the miracles and the great things of God, and God's going to expand the heavens with this revival that's coming up. We got a great thing to look forward to, and I'm getting excited because I know we're right there. We are right there. And I'll tell you something else, Petra. Things like me coming over and getting Joe and Nora and bringing them back here, maybe you too. I don't know whoever else wants to come. Translation. That's going to be a common theme coming up. I already know somebody's already got a dream about them doing something like that. I don't know. It's kind of weird stuff. Wild stuff, huh, Missy?
That was Sandy's dream, not my dream.
I know.
But I believe it.
Amen. And stuff like that's going to happen commonplace in the true church. Here's something else. Here's something else. There's all kinds of things that's going to happen. One of them is this. Everybody that's believing God for some physical, spiritual, whatever, pow, just like that, it's going to happen. Just like this. Because, listen, Ecclesiastes, Patty, or whoever it was, I think it was Andrew, Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 9, the things that happened in the past are going to happen again. This thing's happened to the Israelites when they went out to the wilderness. You remember? Remember what happened? There was no light. And nothing happened. They wore the same Nikes from day one till 40 years later. And they were just like brand new Nikes. You understand? So it's going to be a nice, good time for God's people who are walking that walk. And it's something to look forward to. Yeah, no, you don't have to be in the back seat, girl. You can be up on the hood if you want to. Amen. Glory to God.
Did the word say that there is no